All right, 405 here on KMOX, the Dave Glover Show, DGS continuing. Obviously, Dave is out, and we've passed this information along a couple of different times during the day today. At Dave's request, by the way, he texted us earlier and asked Rach and Andrew and I to make sure that we let everybody know how he's doing, where he's, you know, what's going on at the moment. We know a couple of days ago during the show, got a call that it's time to come by and be with his mom. You know that Francis has been in hospice recently, but obviously has been moving around from different medical facilities to different medical facilities after a fall. Well, it's obviously taken the unfortunate turn that comes along with being in hospice, and Dave is with her. He's surrounded by family. Everything is calm. You know, it's a peaceful setting, but obviously that's why Dave is not with us here today. And when we know more, we'll let you know based on what he passes along to us. And certainly when Dave is here, he will put it all into his own words, which is something that none of us can do. Obviously, Dave has a way with those things. So all of us are with Dave in spirit. We can't be with him in person, but hopefully you guys can keep him in your thoughts and your prayers as we move forward. And speaking of moving forward, that's just what he wants us to do. It's what he's asked us to do, and that's what we continue to do. I know he wishes that he could be here for our next conversation. Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, kind enough to join us on KMOX, running for governor, of course, this time around. Mike, sorry that Dave can't be here to talk to you, but thank you for doing this. We appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and we would join your listeners in keeping Dave and his family in our prayers. I lost my mother several years ago, and it's still a tough deal. So I appreciate you speaking on his behalf, and I know it's tough for you and the radio family.
And we'll definitely pass your thoughts on to him as well when we get the opportunity to do it. So when we've had various candidates on, Mike, for different offices over the course of time here on DGS, Dave likes to start things off by just kind of opening the floor and giving each person their opportunity to kind of go where they want to go to begin things, and we'll follow up with some questions. So the floor is yours. How would you like to start things off?
Well, sure. Thank you for doing that. I'd love to be there in person, but I'm at a better place. I'm in Cameron, Missouri, at one of our state's veterans' homes, honoring some volunteers who help our state's heroes, and that's always a good thing to do. That's who Missouri is, and we love being able to recognize those folks. Hey, we are running for governor, as you mentioned in the opening. I've served as your lieutenant governor, and before that, a state senator. I'm from North St. Louis City in the Walnut Park and Baden area. I was raised by a single mother. I never met my father. We just worked hard to kind of make ends meet, and was fortunate enough to meet a guy named Dave Sinclair, who gave me my break in life and really was my mentor and helped me get through life and into several businesses, ultimately becoming the Ford dealer in Jefferson City. Also got me into the cattle business. I'm first generation, 40 years in the cow-calf business. So I say all those things to give some perspective, is that I have kind of a unique outlook on Missouri, in that almost half my life I was in urban Missouri and half my life in rural Missouri. Have created hundreds of jobs over the last several years in our businesses with the help of a lot of people, by the way. And I think that's a perspective that lends itself to governing. People who have been business leaders and have signed both sides of a check, who've created jobs, who've worked through difficult situations, it gives you kind of a unique look on what it takes to govern. And I didn't do all that by not having good relationships with people. I've always been a person that, no matter if I was in business or in life and family or in agriculture, tried to build relationships so that when those hard decisions came or you had an issue you wanted to move forward, you could work together with somebody to actually get something done. So that's the person I am. I'm a conservative Christian. I'll never give up my conservative values that my mother raised me with. And when we move Missouri forward, it will be so through conservative solutions.
Mike, you got a lot of attention yesterday and certainly got our attention here on the show when you talked kind of the state of politics. I don't think it's a Missouri thing by any stretch of the imagination. It's happening on local levels, on the state level, and certainly on the national level with what you call the hate politics. And if you'd like to expand on that thought a little bit, we'd love to hear you, because we talk a lot about that here on the show.
Well, it's the other thing you hear a lot of people say, it's the politics of personal destruction. In other words, it's unfortunately the discourse in our country and sometimes in the state has gotten to where people can't talk about the issues and agree or disagree on those issues. They have to be personally combative to somebody. And I travel the state extensively. I have through the lieutenant governor's role. I have through my small business role, through my you know, business and agriculture. And that's what Missourians want. I mean, certainly there's a certain sector that the folks who like being a bomb thrower, but that's not who I am. And I really believe Missourians identify with folks who are like me, who's, you know what hard times are and have worked to improve on hard times, and then build relationships with people within government, even if they don't agree with you, doesn't mean you have to hate them. I mean, Ronald Reagan always said, if you agree with somebody 80% of the time, it doesn't make 20% of them your enemy.
Right.
So the way I run, I'm very passionate. That doesn't mean I'm weak. It means that I know how to fight. I know what strength means, and I know what it means to move a situation forward in a business or in a company, and it takes people to work together to get there.
Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, you've received the endorsement of Governor Mike Parson. I'm wondering, has he given you any advice for this race, or maybe you could share what you've learned from working with him as long as you have?
Well, sure. I've known Mike Parson actually almost before politics, right when he came into the House, and I was working for the state as a volunteer with the Missouri Highway Commission. I'm honored to have his endorsement. We've also had 25 other endorsements from statewide organizations, from about every public safety group, every agriculture group, most business groups who have said, we think Mike's got the right, you know, direction to lead the state. And, you know, Governor Parson would be the type of person that even when he would make decisions and we didn't always agree with each other on the direction, he's one of those folks that says, let's learn from what we've done and let's figure out how to do it better the next time we go forward. I can tell you, Mike Parson, whether you agree with his decisions or didn't, always in his heart did what he thought was the best thing for Missourians. And that's certainly the direction that we want to go and continue to build on that so we can move Missouri forward.
So, Mike, be a little more specific on just a couple of things that you think are issues that need to be tackled if you were to be elected governor. I don't know if you have a short list or if you just want to pick one or two, but what are things that you think facing Missouri right now that the governor's office can address and move forward?
Well, certainly. We have four issues that we're running on, and absolutely the number one issue by far, no matter what corner of the state you go to, is crime and keeping our community safe. As I mentioned, I grew up in North City, and you know we've had some real challenges mm-hmm. in that area with community safety. Being able to back the men and women in blue, being able to give them the resources they need to get our community safe again, has to be the foundation we have before we can work on my other issues, which is economic development, education reform, and growing our state's agriculture. All of those things can work, and I believe I can lend a good voice and leadership to those issues, but we have to get crime under control and keep our community safe. That's got to be our number one goal. That's why all of the statewide law enforcement agencies have endorsed me, and they know that we have a good plan along with their help on day one to enact a crime plan.
You know, Mike, we understand, obviously, you do with your history here in St. Louis. We do working downtown, and I'm sure our neighbors to the west in Kansas City, you know, the bigger the city, the larger the population, the larger the number of issues you have and the larger potential you have for problems. How can a state balance the needs in the bigger cities compared to the needs that are in the more rural areas where you do have smaller towns? Obviously, they're different. How does the approach from the statewide level, in your experience, kind of work with the city governments and the local entities to do what you're talking about?
Well, listen, crime travels. When we had an officer shot about a year and a half ago in Herman, Missouri, I knew the chief of police very well, and I called him, and he, in a very emotional state, said, Mike, I never thought it happened here in Herman, Missouri. It's not unique to urban. It's also rural has its challenges, especially with the out-of-control immigration that we have and the number of illegals coming across the border with the deadly fentanyl. That's been an incredible issue across our state, but specifically in rural Missouri. So the way we do that is we want to create a pool of law enforcement folks. We want to be the friendliest and best state in the nation for not only retaining law enforcement officers, but for recruiting law enforcement officers. There's other states that have some models out there. We don't have to reinvent the wheel on this. And again, our statewide law enforcement organizations are going to work together with our administration to be able to give law enforcement, whether it's a county sheriff's office or St. Louis City PD or St. Charles, et cetera, the resources and availability of a talent pool to grow the number of men and women we have in the law enforcement profession, and that will go a long way into getting our community safety back. St. Louis right now is 350 officers short. You can't protect the streets that you have in St. Louis when you're down that many officers.
You know, we talk a lot on the show, Mike, about the connection, too, between what you discussed as a second thing on your list, the economic growth and the opportunities to grow there. You need people to help the economy. And, you know, in cities, we've seen population diminishing, people trying to move away from some of the things they think are problems. Is it possible to do those things independently, or are they linked, as you initially said, that if you do the first part, you make things safe, especially in your revenue-generating areas, that's the door to open before you can get to the growth part?
They're 100% linked. I can't go to an existing business in the St. Louis region and ask them to expand if they don't feel like their employees, their customers, their shipping process, all of those things aren't safe and protected. And I certainly have a hard time going to another part of our country or a globe. We've been on trade missions in Germany on behalf of the governor without somebody asking about crime and is it safe? Is it going to be safe for my employees, my customers? You have to make sure that we have community safety to the point where people really feel comfortable. You know, look, I can remember going to downtown St. Louis as a kid. We took a public bus down to Busch Stadium and went and sat in the bleacher seats for a baseball game and went back, and our parents never thought anything about it. Not so sure parents would be that comfortable with that process today. So I'd love to see in my heart, especially in that region, get us back to the glory days that I know we can do. We have a great work ethic. We have a great system for logistics and transportation in the St. Louis area. We have a lot of really good resources there. We need to capitalize on it, but we need to get community safety done first.
All right, Mike. So, kind of moving forward, and this is not really. I'm not trying to direct you in any specific way. You can take it where you'd like. But obviously, the big four that you listed are all things that I think a lot of people talk about on a regular basis. And I mean people of any kind of political persuasion, right? People want safety. They want economic growth. They want those things. How about some of the issues that get people going into what we talked about at the beginning? The hate politics tends to come from what we all talk about with social issues, or we talk about culture war issues. Are there things in there that need to be discussed with you, or are those things we can settle with ballot initiatives and letting the people speak for themselves when they get a chance to vote?
Well, certainly you've seen some of those more contentious issues that are very unique and personal to a lot of legislators reach the ballot. You're seeing one potentially come up this November with the, in my opinion, the abortion initiative, which is horrible, in my opinion. I hope it doesn't pass. But there's also a way to forge relationships through the General Assembly when we have to deal with those things. I mean, people elect Senate and House members in the state of Missouri to be their representation and go to the Capitol to actually get something done. And when everything's in gridlock, when they're governing via chaos, it doesn't get anything done. And so the big picture pieces that we're talking about, education, economic development, crime, public safety, agriculture, et cetera, we never get time on the floor in that building if we get bogged down with other issues. So building those relationships so that you can understand what's important to each member that's maybe unique to their district and not unique to another person's district, that's what's really important. And I believe if the good Lord gave me any kind of quality, it was something where I could sit down with people and bring folks together, get them to understand what each other's point of view is, and then figure out a way to forge forward. I tell folks all the time that we just celebrated, you know, our 248th year in this country, and 56 men 248 years ago went to a hall of Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia, and they did not all get what they wanted when they signed that document. This country was moving forward when men said, here's what's best for the country and not best for me personally, and they figured out a way to move forward. That's the country and the state we need to be.
Mike, we know you're on a schedule, and, well, to be honest, we are too. we appreciate you joining us, and thanks again for the kind words towards Dave and his family. I know he'll appreciate it when we pass those along. Yep. You have a good day.
Thank you so much for having me on. God bless you guys.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, 426 on DGS. Hey, reminder, coming up after the 6 o'clock news, Matt Pauly is out on remote. We've got a cool sports open line experience for you tonight. You can go join Matt. He and Jen Cease are going to be out at the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. They're doing the soccer showcase, which we do all the time. Akil Watts from City is going to be there. You can get pictures, autographs, obviously food. You can take part in the sports conversation. So they will talk a lot of soccer in the first hour. Matt will do a little baseball after that, but they're live at Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. I've been there. It's a cool spot. You're more than welcome to join Matt. And when you go out there, I'm trying to think of something I can tell people to say to Matt.
That would as a message from you.
He knew it was us, but without saying it was us. And I can't think of anything. I just couldn't think of it off the top of my head.
We'll brainstorm it on the break.
Yeah, I'll try to figure that out. But anyway, you guys can go do that at the Hot Shots. I don't know why that came out really weird. At the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois.
By the way, I did peruse the Hot Shots menu and
They got good food. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, Kevin sends his regards and then slap him in the face.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fine.
Don't slap Matt, Paulie.
But nicely. Nicely.
You can't even reach his face. He's like 7.
Oh, I can reach. I can jump a little bit.
No, not you. I mean anybody.
Oh, I got hops, man. I can jump a little bit. Yeah. I got hops still. You can move off the ground a little bit. I wouldn't do that, though, because Matt's so nice.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I do that to
feel
Reardon
terrible
for real,
forever.
Though. I hit Reardon. I do it every day when I see him, or at least I fake like I'm going to. He's my friend. I like
you
Mark.
You give him the flinch?
Oh, I do. And he flinches every time. He's a flincher.
Well, yeah, because you're striking at him.
Not in a mean nose.
That's
I'm not
one
gonna...
of those things that I hate is when people are like, yeah. Oh, you flinch. It's like, well, you were going to throw something in my face.
Yeah, I thought you were going to punch me in the hallway at work.
He knows I'm not going to do it for real.
No, I don't think he does.
He does. We hang out. You know, we played poker together. He babysat my kid when she was young. He knows I'm not going to hit him. At least not for real. Like, it'd be playful.
It'd be, one of those friendly punches to the face.
It's not a punch. It's a tap. It's much more friendly. It's a lot friendlier than what happens on Jackass, I can tell you that. Don't do any of that nonsense to Mark. He's too nice. Hi, DGS here on, is it Thursday? It's Thursday.
It is Thursday.
God almighty, I had to look at my phone. That's weird. Why does that happen?
I don't know.
Like, I know that when I was here yesterday, it was Wednesday, and then today I just forget that it's Thursday. It is an off day for the Cards. Sports Open Line with Matt Pauly live from the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois tonight for the soccer showcase. Akil Watts will be out there. Jen Cease will be with Matt as well. So that's all coming up from 6 till 8 tonight. Let's do some music, Rach. Not play some music, but let's talk some music.
Absolutely. Esquire magazine put out a list of the 50 best songs of the 1990s. And I have the top 15 for you here.
All right, let's
and
do it.
There's a nice mix in this list.
I was boring you earlier with the review of the 90s music scene, which was literally all over the place in terms of styles of music and what was popular. Like, rap and hip-hop were monstrous, but so were the boy bands, so were the pop stars like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, and then the grunge thing. I mean, like, popular music was really all over the place in the 90s. In a good way, by the way.
Pardon me.
Sorry, I choked you up with that.
I don't know what just happened.
Rach is like, that just hit. That's such an emotional observation.
I went to take a breath and it just went wrong. All right, we're going to start out with Kevin's very favorite band at number 15. Oasis, with their hit song Wonderwall, is the number 15 song of the 1990s.
I don't know why I hate them so much, but I do.
It's a good song.
It's not, but I agree that I'm in the vast minority, so I must be wrong about that.
You are.
Number 14 is Gold Sounds by Pavement. Mm-hmm. Number 13, No Scrubs by TLC.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That was 90s?
That was 90s.
God, for some reason, I would have put that in the 80s.
Nope.
Number 12 is Criminal by Fiona Apple.
Yep, remember that one?
11, Juicy by the Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number 10, Only Shallow, My Bloody Valentine. I do not know this song.
I don't either. I know the band, but I don't know the song.
Number 9 is Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
Ah, legend. That is a thing of legend.
Number 8, Rebel Girl, Bikini Kill.
Don't know that one.
I don't know that one either. Andrew, give us a little, sing us.
Sing it, Andrew.
No, it's punk.
Okay.
Oh, is it?
Punk music. Yeah.
Okay.
Number 7 is Supa Dupa Fly by Missy Elliott.
God, that was 90s too?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Number 6, Cannonball, The Breeders.
That's a good one.
That is a good song.
Yeah, I like that one.
Number 5, Around the World, Daft Punk.
I don't dig them.
I like Daft Punk.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right.
Number four, F and Run by Liz Phair.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever heard that one.
Nothing But a G Thing, Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg comes in at number three. Number two is Fantasy Remix by Mariah Carey. And would anyone like to guess the number one song of the 1990s? It's a big duh once you hear it.
Yeah, it's Nirvana, isn't it?
Yes, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
Yeah. They were great, but that's not their greatest song. It's not close. They have so many better ones. It is a good song, though. There are people like that crap on it, like, oh, it's so... No, it's good.
Mm-hmm. I like that
There's
song.
A reason that it you could make an argument that that song was kind of what opened the door to change the rock scene.
Think you could make an argument it's their best song?
Yeah, you could. I wouldn't make that argument, but you definitely could.
That's my list from Esquire. I did want to talk about this, too. I recently had my debit card number stolen.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Like your code or your actual card number?
My actual card number. Okay. Because I called the bank yesterday and I was talking to them about it. And they said, even though my card is in my possession, the fraud that I found on my account was done by someone who was using a magnetic strip. So I think I got my card skimmed at a gas station.
Yeah.
So that stinks.
That
and I just want to say,
awful.
I hate people who do that. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. Punch them all in the face.
I don't know.
And then go to jail.
I don't know how exactly that works. Do you guys know how exactly that works?
No. I mean, I'm assuming there's some sort of device that they put on the credit card reader that steals your information.
Yeah, so
and then they have another machine that makes the card. I don't know.
No, I don't even know if you need the card if you have the information. A lot of times when you're entering stuff online, you just put in the number and then you put the security code in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although sometimes it depends on the code, but sometimes you have to know like the zip code. Although maybe not for, I don't know. You also have to know the PIN number if you're going to use it as a debit card. I don't know. I bet they can read all of that though from what they skim off of your card.
It's just evil. I just don't understand. I just don't get it.
In all honesty, if you're going to go to that much trouble, you have some ingenuity, you should do something legit.
Exactly. Like, it seems like it would take more effort to do that than to just go out and get, like, a good paying job.
Meanwhile, every criminal is sitting back laughing how stupid we are for saying that.
Exactly.
They're like, no, it's way easier this way.
It's way better to live like this. You are the chumps.
Yeah. I don't have a good explanation other than people suck.
You guys ever had your identity stolen or anything like that?
I got a story. This is crazy. Like,
okay.
I'm trying to remember when it was. It was either late 90s or early 2000s. And I get a call from my boss, and he's like, hey, can you come in? We got to talk about something. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I'm like, uh-oh, you know, contract, that kind of thing. And he's like, I got a call from a woman who says you stole her money and her cell phone and rang up long distance charges and all that.
Why would you do that?
No, this is the thing.
That's terrible.
So this is
you shouldn't have done that.
Here's the story. The story was, this is not even, somebody impersonated me.
Oh.
In Seattle.
Like a listener?
So I don't know. Somebody that knew who I was met this woman at a place in Seattle. Met her in person.
Calling an old lady,
said,
like, let's go.
No, it was she was like 30 something years old. And she met this guy. This guy said that he was me. Hey, I'm Kevin Wheeler. I'm at Sporting News Radio or whatever. That's where I worked, and I do the overnight show and all that. Like, he literally used everything about my background to gain this woman's trust, and they started dating, and then he eventually, like, stole her cell phone and credit cards and ran up the cell phone stuff. And she called the network, like, hey, your guy ripped me off. And then my boss was like, well, I'm going to talk to him, but he's never been to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was literally here the whole time that you're talking about, and that's why he called me in, just to let me know, hey, this is happening. You're going to want to make sure that you're ready for it. And eventually it all got settled without me because I was obviously not in Seattle.
How do I know you're really Kevin?
I know.
Okay, I'm sold. You're Kevin.
Honest to God, it was a little weird. I'm not going to lie. Because I'm like, it was that easy to
skip. Was she like a super fan of yours?
No, she didn't know who I was.
Okay.
She had no idea who I was. She just heard it as this was who he was presenting this is what I do, and it was kind of how he fooled her into trusting him.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, I feel so terrible for that woman. Like,
it's one thing
to get scammed, but to get scammed by the guy you're dating is like the worst.
Yeah, and I don't think
feeling,
they dated
sure.
very long. It sounded like they went out a few times.
Yeah.
And then once he had the opportunity, he like stole her wallet, took the cell phone, ran up long distance charges, like ran up the credit card, did the whole deal. And pretended he was me doing it the whole time. And
I still think it was you.
And I, you know, it would be really hard to, because that was the thing. My boss was like, have you ever even been to Seattle? I'm like, no, I was here. You know I was here because I was in the studio working.
Okay, terrible question. But were you a little flattered that you were famous enough to have someone impersonate you?
No, I was not happy at all. In fact, I wanted to find that guy and beat his ass.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.